Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded, the show where we explore the link between human and brand behavior. You know, my ultimate goal here is to raise awareness and provide insight between how people and brands impact each other. I am Timothy Maurice, and as if you follow the show closely, we go behind the scenes of case studies, the latest trends, neuroscience, consumer psychology, as well as simply trying to make sense of the social phenomenon of this whole human and brand behavior world. So, at the end of the show, as you know, if you follow, we will, of course, have our Cyber Health feature coming up at the end with Rianette Lebowitz, where she explores healthy engagement with the cyber world. I, today, decided to turn inward. Very rarely do I talk about my work on the show because we want to bring in other people, other influencers, insiders, people with great minds to be able to explore the subject of human and brand behavior. But I've got a new book coming out. Can I get a round of applause or something?
Woo!
Woo! Woo! Woo! It's happening. It's back from print today, and we're publishing it in conjunction with Indalo Media, a Destiny magazine. I'm so excited. Guys, I don't even have it in my hand yet, but I'm going to pick it up right when I finish this show. So I decided, you know what, let me give people an insight and some insight into the book and what you can expect from it and why I think, even if you don't read like Duncan, that you may want to pick up this book. So we're going to have this conversation, and I'm going to have the conversation with Rianette, who's on her way. But let me just give you an overview and a snapshot, and then we're going to flip the conversation, and I think Rianette is going to interview me today. But let me give you a snapshot. Personal Brand Intelligence is the title of the book, or PBQ. You know, like emotional intelligence, right? The EQ, to be able to sort of offer a quotient for your emotions, your emotional engagement. So I came up with a concept called PBQ. It's 8 years of my work on the subject of values, personal brand leadership, as well as social and professional influence. You know, this influence thing has become a big deal. You see people online, literally, they'll put on someone else's clothes and somebody pay them for it. So I really wanted to explore this entire conversation from your inside out about personal branding. Again, 8 years of my work. It's a collection of thought leadership, offers a new blueprint of influence. You know, gives you sort of a code for those who believe they have what it takes to influence their home, communities, and the world. Much of the way that EQ shifted the world, I believe that PBQ will do the same. It's a new framework for measuring and engaging your emotional capacity. Personal brand intelligence offers a three-tiered body framework for looking at the influence of your values and brand. I believe that this professional and social quotient that individuals and companies will look to in determining how successful, impactful, influential professionals are. Stakeholders and business partners will want to know, how strong is your PBQ? As you read this collection of my work, you will see how personal brand has evolved over the past decade and why it has become a part of our professional lexicon. While many remain skeptical of applying the term brand to individuals, you will see that I carefully argue that brand is merely a surrogate word for ensuring your reputation, your personal narrative, and your social and professional influence is measured and able to be leveraged in order to exchange value in your daily pursuit of achieving your goals and dreams. So we all have those things called goals and dreams. So this is just my mere tool. More than a motivational body of work, because I don't see myself as a motivational speaker, but beyond that, I challenge you to think critically about how your brand, you build your brand publicly in a story and how it relates to your ability to influence the world. PBQ argues that seeing yourself as a brand can be dangerous even and cause major social and health implications if you do not take it seriously and actively manage it. You'll laugh, you'll be amused, but most of all, you'll be inspired to research. You'll be inspired by the research, case studies, and sort of a global look at this conversation. So that's a bit of a snapshot. We're going to play a quick song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to get more into it. If you were listening live earlier, you had a great, great interview with Mikasa. Great job, Gareth. We'll be right back after the break.
This is CliffCentral.com.
22 PBQ. Welcome back to Unbranded. I'm Timothy Maurice, and we're so excited again. As I said before the break, my new book, Personal Brand Intelligence, PBQ, is back from the printer. It is sitting with the publisher, and they're waiting for me. And the only thing standing in the way of me getting my hands on my book is this show. But I'm so excited to be able to share with you. You're the first, and I'm going to give some insight of course, because Cliff Central, we are family, about the book. So I wanted to go over and just give you a bit of an overview myself, but it sounds a little bit narcissistic. Sounds a bit narcissistic, and Rianette gave me a look, and she was like, why don't I just fire some questions off at you, some things that she's curious about, and some of the feedback that's coming through. So, Rianette, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Of course, you can't just talk about your own book. We need to ask some questions.
And at the end of the show, as always, as you know, we'll have our cyber health feature. Rianette will be bringing her special cyber bite at the end of the show to help you thrive in the cyber world. So, you have questions for me.
I do. Let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
PBQ. Just explain it, because I think, you know, you are so good with coming up with wonderful terms like personovation. Mm. But what does this really entail?
So I like frameworks, and I believe that we learn easier when things are framed in a very sort of simple way. So I think one of the reasons why emotional intelligence, EQ, became so big was that it was simple, like IQ. Like, how smart is this person? So instead of asking someone how smart you are, you ask them, you know, do you have a strong IQ? What is your IQ? Instead of wanting to know what someone's emotional strength and capacity is, what is your EQ?
Yes.
And it becomes a part of society. So I thought, you know, working for so many years on this idea of personal branding, if people could ask someone quickly or engage someone in an interview about their PBQ, I thought it would catch on. And I thought, you know, if we could just simplify, because I felt like personal branding is just it's a word that's kind of overdone at times and so forth. So I want to just simplify it. And
yes,
PBQ is something that I'm very, very proud of.
Excellent. So I'm sure some of that and your PBQ inspires you to write. But what else is there that inspires you to come up with these genius? I mean, you've done a couple of books now. Another question I'm going to ask you later is in terms of how does this book, you know, fit into the series, or how does it complement your other books, Thinking About You, Personovation, Soul to Soul?
Sure.
But yeah, so what inspires you to write them?
You know, the other day I was on the HOW train, and I was sitting across from a guy who was very emotional. And I had no idea who this person was, but I saw the way he was engaged in his phone. And it really made me think about you, actually. So something happened on his phone that caused him to become extremely emotional. And you could see that he was like in a bubble.
Okay.
He was, you know, he was oblivious to everyone around him. And moments like that really inspire me, because I'm intrigued by what stimuli he was experiencing at this moment that caused him to sort of erupt. Like, where did the tears come from? You know, how does it affect his personal narrative? What ultimately will happen to him in the future because of this call?
Yes.
How will it impact how society sees him, if at all? So everyday experiences, everyday occurrences, listening to passionate people like yourself talk about this entire conversation around, you know, what's happened with the cyberspace and the social media world. I am completely fascinated by humans and what's happening in our brains and so forth. And also research from other professionals. So if you, you know, we have a, you know, brain and brand podlet I do with Dr. Tara Swart. And people like that who are sort of exploring sort of the science of what's happening in the brain. These are all things that really, really inspire me.
Okay, and in terms of your research, you mentioned Dr. Tara, and where else do you get your research, or how do you do your research?
Sure. So I'm an avid reader, Duncan. We, you know, passionate readers, people who really sort of engage and love content and so forth. So, you know, everywhere from one of the things that I enjoy is I'm obsessed with books, so I spend a lot of time in the bookstore, but a lot of it is neuroscience based as well as consumer psychology based type of content, and you know, but more importantly, it's from everyday conversations I have with people at workshops and consulting engagements and so forth. These are places that I get real world grassroots insight from yes. people. So yeah, that for me is, and especially the content I get from consulting. So I spend a lot of time with leaders and influencers, and what I learn from them, you know, because I have to write these columns and articles on a regular basis and blogs and so forth, being able to share that. So primary, secondary research, all of it is where I get my content.
Okay, and I think what you say is so valuable in terms of it's real life experience, and that makes it so good because you can actually tell real stories.
Exactly.
And to me, as a reader, that is inspiring because I can really, I know you said earlier you're not an inspirational speaker, but, or you don't mean to motivate, motivational speaker, you are an inspirational speaker, but, yeah, so to see that this is a real life example and that is what you base it on, that makes it to me even more realistic in a way. Excuse me. So if we speak about your values and your brand, you mentioned earlier, you know, it's about your influence, your values and your brand. I think we have spoken about it and we can maybe find those podcasts. But if you think about values, maybe it's worth just looking at what does it mean in today's society? I mean, before the age of social media and so forth, of course, you still had your values. But has it changed? And what's sure. your view on that?
Sure. So the first thing is that, you know, values evolve in the shift, and values regulate our souls to such an extent. That's why people go to war. Think about it.
Yes.
You know, someone values one thing. Like one country values democracy. Another country values something completely different. And before you know it, there's a war and people are blowing other people up. You have people who value swinging. You have people who value monogamy. You have people who value different things. So, you know, how we feel about other people is largely determined by our values, who we want to spend time with.
Yes.
Our very existence is based on values. If you look at church communities, for example, versus those from, you know, who go to a mosque, a synagogue, you know, the way they build an entire cultural engagement is based on their values. And I'm really intrigued by that. I'm intrigued by those who can experience lifestyles such as BDSM and how they value, you know, experiences of being a dominant versus a submissive, and how someone else who's their neighbor would look down on those people, or vice versa. The BDSM people could look down on the people who are just sort of churchgoers. So I'm intrigued by how we have built our values and why it is they become walls in between us, and how we can overcome those walls by understanding each other's values.
Yes. And I think it speaks so much to, you know, like you say, wars. It has started wars in the past. It's still doing that. And how we, if we do have that understanding, and if we do give attention to each other's PBQs, it could, you know, it just sort out so much of the issues that we currently experience.
Or not. Think about it for example. If you value something, let's say you value intelligence in someone else, and someone else values, let's say, just dance and relaxation and value things that you don't value. And if you actually don't have any appreciation of their values, it physically could just continue to draw. And this is where I think values are interesting. I actually genuinely feel that values could be a problem. The values could actually be part of the problem.
Okay,
and this is
explain.
A very, very controversial saying. But I feel as though that instincts and our understanding of each other could be as or more important than values. So if I hold on to my values to such an extent that they conflict with yours, I will never be able to get along with you. And maybe is that not part of the issue that we face globally? That my values and your values, if they're seen to be conflicting and different, the more I understand yours, the more divide is going to create between us.
I agree with you on that. And that's something that we face. It's called the digital ethical dilemma. Because it's okay in your world to, let's say we're all sitting on one couch. In your house, it's okay to jump on the couch. In my house, the animals are on the couch. And in someone's house, it's like feet off the couch. Well, now, while you're jumping on the couch and I'm feeding my dog some biscuits on the couch, someone else is saying, sit down, please, come on, have some manners.
These people are primitive.
And
They're backwards.
Yes. Yeah. And we're actually all sitting on the same couch. Now, how do we deal with that?
Yeah, and that's the point. I mean, understanding each other doesn't help much. I mean, if you go to a deeper understanding and you really go, okay, they're doing this because the dog is part of the family and this and that, then it can actually draw a much deeper divide. For me, that's what's fascinating about the whole thing. So anyway, so I explore a lot of this conversation in the book because I feel deeply that we need to have a healthier conversation about this entire thing if we're going to grow our individual sort of PBQs.
Sure. And tell us, how did you publish this book?
So it's interesting because this is largely a collection of my work over the last 8 years. And, so in Dalo Media, which is Destiny Mag, I've been publishing inside of Destiny Mag for the last sort of 8 years since the magazine pretty much started. And I sat with Kanye and Lomo and we just sort of discussed how we could sort of do a joint venture and how we could sort of work together on sharing this content to a broader audience beyond just the magazine. Because we know that people may follow the mag, but they may not read it every single month.
Yes.
But if they could have the content in a collection of work. And so we thought, what would make it interesting, though? Because we don't want to just publish articles because, you know, some people may have read all of them. So how do we add content that's fresh and put it in a framework and divide the book into in a way that is actually is very constructive versus just, a bunch of articles?
Okay. So this shows you the power of that relationship, consistency, working over it for years and years and years. And it's fascinating because now, like you said earlier, in terms of research, it's not just a quick thing that you did.
Sure.
It's actually taken lots of time. So, but Tim, really, I mean, there's so many books out there about personal branding.
Yeah.
How does this one stand out?
Yeah. Do you think it's too many? There are too many books out there?
I don't think there's too many because we will always learn from someone else's perspective.
Okay.
However, what makes this one different?
I think it's the framework. The fact that I actually offer a way to sort of measure your brand. That I break it down into three bodies.
Okay.
Your unseen dimension of your brand, which is sort of the internal values, the internal mindset, the skills, all the stuff you can't see that makes up your brand. The second body is your sort of external, what we can see, your behaviors, your how you go about etiquette, the whole sort of style dimension, grooming, all of that sort of stuff is part of your second body. And then your third body is what you create, your relationships, your associations. These things are a big part of what you become sort of known for and how you develop sort of equity in the market. So the breaking it down into a framework, I think, is going to become the bar for how people see this whole personal branding. So, you know, personal branding is still fairly new. Unlike actuarial science, which has been around since the 1600s, 1700s,
okay.
Personal branding is fairly new. So the question becomes how, over the last couple of decades, how do we put a framework around it? So that was part of the goal.
But that's, excuse me, that's really valuable because I think many times we read these amazing books, but you can't measure yourself afterwards or you don't really know, okay, now? What's the next step? And something almost tangible that you can put down for yourself.
Sure.
But in terms of personal branding, I mean, there's so much going on about it. And is it a bit overdone maybe? Or do you think people are only starting to understand it? That's one part of it. And then the other side, I'm sure the fact that social media is so prevalent and considering young minds, I mean, it just opens up a whole new can of opportunities. We won't call it worms. It's sure. opportunities.
Sure. I think that because it's fairly an informal discipline, I do think that there is some fatigue around hearing about personal branding. I feel that a lot of people are tired of people coming and going, okay, build your brand. You need to dress nice. You need to look nice. And you need to be the part. You need to align with the company. I think that conversation is overdone, which is why I wanted to go deeper and I fuse in conversations about how the brain works and how you see people and how it influences you. The subconscious mind features big time in the book. And I feel that, you know, being able to rate, give people a way to rate other people and rate yourself has not been explored enough. So I offer that. There's a tool in the book for that. And I feel strongly, very strongly, that if I don't pitch this book properly, it will fall into that category of being overdone. So I need to be careful about how I pitch this, which is why I wanted to have this conversation, because I know these listeners, Cliff Central listeners, are very sort of, you know, powerful sort of thinking type of people. So yes. I wanted to engage on that level.
But I think what adds some spice to it is the neuroscience part. You know, the fact that there's so much more that is actually influencing our decisions and the way we react. So I really look forward to reading it, especially because of that. So, and in terms of personal branding, do you think it will die out, or how will it transform?
In the next few sort of decades
and so forth.
I think that the individual and the power of the individual. So I open the book up talking about, I call it the PBQ case.
Like, all right.
Why does this even matter? And I argue that 500 years ago, you know, you had basic people who ran society, and then you had people who were laborers. And so what's happened is the middle class has formed, giving people options. The middle class has formed, giving people the ability to define their path. If you were born as a laborer and you were, and 500 years ago, you were going to be stuck as a laborer. There was no real option in your life. You were branded when you were born. Whereas now we're born with sort of like a blank slate where you can go from the street to president, or you can go from a broken home like Barack Obama and become president of the most powerful country in the world. So what's exciting about it, where the era that we live in now, is that we are wide open to be able to be whatever it is we want to be. And so what this book argues is that you can either do something about that, or you don't have to. You know, you can just sort of relax and kind of hang out and just like let life happen, or you know, or not. So
okay, good. Well, shall we take a quick break and come back with some more interesting questions?
Yeah, your questions are great. Thank you so much.
This is CliffCentral.com. I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Business leaders around the globe are committing to building a better world for everyone. CliffCentral.com is joining forces with the Sympathy Sleepout, taking a stand for the plight of the homeless. We invite you to participate with us in the Sympathy Sleepout on the 28th of July, 2016. Join the ranks of leaders of change by using your influence for what truly matters. Sign up now for the Sympathy Sleepout on www.theceosleepoutza.co.za. That's theceosleepoutza.co.za.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back. So today I'm in the hot seat with Timothy across from me. What a great position to be.
I like how you just took over the show. Beautiful stuff.
So I'm interviewing Timothy Maurice Webster on his new book, and we are so, so excited about it. It's talking about PBQ, and we've been discussing your personal brand, intelligence and values, and where personal branding will go and so forth. However, now I want to know, Timothy, with so many people preferring to read online or watch videos and listen to podcasts, why did you decide to write another book?
I feel that, you know, when you look at sort of the ecosystem of your ideas and thinking about, you know, what it is you are, you know, what it is your work stands for, that you know, in this new media age, you need to be able to share it in all types of platforms, from video to podcast to TV to, but the book is sort of the foundation. You know, it gives people a way to reference and go back to something if they didn't hear something clearly.
Yes.
And so for me, it's always publishing, I think, will always be around in some form. I think as long as humans are around, and language is such a powerful technological tool, people don't realize language is a technology. To be able to put phrases and sentences and words together, language is a powerful technology. So as long as that technology, we're still using it, and we don't go back to grunting at each other.
Yes.
I think that publishing books, even if it's just ebooks and no longer print, is the foundation of how our society sort of is cemented.
Yes. And I have to say, I also love going back to a book where I've made a note, or I've, you know, when you read a book now and in 3 years down the line, you remember something that stood out for you then, and you go back and you look at, maybe you've made a note, maybe you've marked something, and you think, wow, I've actually grown, or wow, I can't even remember that that was an issue.
Sure.
So that to me is quite valuable.
Absolutely.
Besides adding the, the podcast and the digital side to it. And will you be touring?
I will. You know, one of the things I enjoy about publishing a book is dialogue and around it, and people challenging me and telling me, dude, this makes no sense, or dude, this is great, or whatever. So it allows me, you know, and I think that the value of publishing is that people vet and challenge your content and really get you to sort of think beyond just what you are publishing. So I enjoy touring. We will be definitely doing lots of Africa, the West, the U.S., as well as, most of South Africa. The first part of the tour will start in South Africa, where we'll be doing, throughout the rest of the year, most of the cities in the country.
That's so exciting. And who do you hope will attend in terms of target market?
I want anyone who thinks they are have the potential to influence. So whether you are a manager, whether you are a leader, an entrepreneur, if you feel like what you decided to apply yourself to,
yeah,
in this world has the ability to influence a number of people, then you want to be there. So it's, you know, that will be anyone from, you know, a student who has, I mean, I saw recently, I think it was Carte Blanche, I saw a young man who developed an app who helps people locate animals and upload videos of their own experience when they're in the bush. And this guy developed this when he was a teenager. I think he could benefit from this book, because if we got an app that powerful, that's where there's millions and millions of people watching it from around the world.
Yes.
How he positions himself now as a professional will benefit him. So I think that sort of the age and demographic type of dynamic has expanded, because there are still professionals, for example, who are 70 years old who are influencing the world. Recently, I read a story about an 81-year-old who started running marathons at 81 years old. And so that person needs to sort of now package himself so he can get sponsors, that type,
yes,
of thing. So, you know, anyone who has the ability to influence, who wants to partner with people to share their influence and maximize and benefit from the influence, should be at this tour.
And I think it's valuable, Timothy, because so many times people are great at what they do and they love what they do. However, to brand themselves is not part of that what they love to do. They just want to be a scientist, or they just want to, like this guy, do this app, share it with the world, share those stories. But when it comes to personal branding, putting myself out there, talking about myself, that's tough for some people.
Yeah, it's a whole different discipline.
Yes.
So beyond your work, if you're a singer, focus on singing. Get someone else to help sort of take your story out there.
And that's a valuable thing that you just mentioned in terms of let someone else help you, because we struggle. If you, this first of all takes a lot more time to do your personal branding, and you know, if you start thinking about social media platforms and so forth. So if you can give us great examples of people who are branding themselves properly, who would that be?
You.
Really? Thank you.
You know, one of the things I enjoy about your work, so for those of you who aren't that familiar with Rianette, you really stick as a woman who believes in family, who believes in the safety of kids and so forth. You're very consistent with how you go about building yourself. I think there are people out there who are like Bill Gates, who's going to give the Nelson Mandela Memorial Lecture. He and his wife branded themselves well by deciding to focus on giving money away instead of just keeping it to themselves. That was a very strategic thing. But they decided to build their Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation together and start sharing the content about making a difference. Now, people may argue that they didn't necessarily think we're going to go brand ourselves by doing this, but there was very consistent parallels, and it was a continuum they followed where the messaging around what they're doing and why they're doing it was clear. And I think that's the most important thing. When it comes to local people who brand themselves well, there are a litany. There are people like Benang. There are people, you know, Benang Mateba, who is a media personality who's very, very focused on who she partners with. She's done some amazing campaigns with the likes of people like Woolworths, and many others, L'Oreal, I think. And so she's been very consistent and very deliberate about managing her influence and her storyline so that she can sort of own the conversation versus reacting to what comes towards her. So plenty of examples out there.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, that's good to hear. And in terms of, I like the fact what you said about the Gates Foundation and so forth, because it does, you know, it's consistency. So does this speak to the whole influencer phenomenon?
Oh, the influencer thing has just completely changed the world. I think I saw you wearing sort of a technology or a watch at some point.
Yes.
And was that given to you because you have influence? Let's use a practical example. So tell us about the brand of this watch. Was which one? Was it?
It's Huawei.
Huawei.
Yeah.
And they gave you the watch. Why? Why did they give you the watch?
I attended for my sub-health feature. I attended one of their launches for a phone, a new phone that they launched, and that was the thank you gift.
It was a gift. Oh, wow. Okay. So they just gave everybody a watch.
Yep.
Okay, so they messed up my example.
But it was still my choice to keep it or do I give it away?
Oh,
and yeah. I was proudly wearing it.
Okay.
I thought, well, first of all, thank you so much for, you know, giving me this gift. We don't go to these launches expecting something like that, but I was proud to wear it. And, yeah, today I forgot it because I was in a hurry, but I love it. I love the technology around it, the tools that it's giving me. And because of that, I've taken notice of their other, you know, their other products.
Wow. Okay. And you, so influence, if they had given you the watch to wear it, because they understand that you're following the people who engage you are highly sort of engaged, they would have given it to you to sort of link the value and the actual, to expose what they're doing with the watch and what the watch is about to the people who care about you.
And they, in a way, they did that because they know that these are technology writers and editors.
Yes.
And we do have an influence with the target market. So I think it's a very strategic move and a good one.
Yeah. The influencer space is interesting because it's growing fast and furiously. I mean, it is literally moving really, really fast. And what I'm really excited about when it comes to the influencer space is that people are now being respected. People are being paid for their value. They're being paid for, you know, taking care of their story and position themselves well online and take and being responsible in the public and being really responsible public citizens. So I'm really enjoying that a lot, actually.
And what would you say is the most important takeaway from your book?
I would say the most important takeaway is that there is a potential to sort of own and chart your path and be rewarded for it. If you are fully engaged with what it is you're trying to do and trying to clarify your messaging, that people will acknowledge it and reward you handsomely. And I think the big takeaway is that there is an opportunity to recognize this and evolve along the way with your influence. So your influence today will be different than it will be in 5 years.
Yes.
So to be able to sort of measure and understand how that's going to evolve is a powerful, powerful opportunity for you. And I think the second biggest thing is this, is that as human beings, there's so much that we don't know about our brains. There's so much that we don't know about how we operate. And so science, I give a bit of insight and some hints into where we headed and what's happening with the mind and how brands impact it and how we impact brands. And I think as per this show, that is going to be very rewarding for the reader.
So Tim, if I may ask you, do you remember the day when you sat at a bookshop, a bookstore, and you looked at that shelf, the bestseller shelf, and you were dreaming about having your book there? Now, this is book number 4. Wow, yeah. Well done. I just want to congratulate you. And I hope you take a moment to just to experience the fact that it's happened. You've worked so hard for it. I mean, it really, there's no such thing as an overnight success or a lucky break because we work towards it. But well done, Timothy. Do you still sometimes think of that day?
I do. I mean, you know, the story is that, you know, my dad kicked me out of his house when I was 18 because I was a bit ridiculous and wasn't really focused, and I wanted to do things that he didn't really want me to do. And then I used to go hang out at bookstores and I used to stare at the bestseller list and imagine myself as an author with books on the shelf. And you know, I've been very blessed that I think that caring about people has gotten me there more than anything. And I think for me, that's been what's so rewarding, is that listening to people's story, whether you are a programmer or whether you have a dream of being on TV or you have a dream of being an actuarial scientist or you have a dream of being a lawyer or a doctor, whatever, listening to people's journey and actually genuinely caring about them has really sort of helped me think and frame concepts to give people extra tools to be able to help them along on their journey, but also just enjoying the art of writing. I really enjoy the art of writing, and I hope people take away from this that it's not just a motivational work or it's not just something for people's self-help.
Okay.
It's actually interesting, and I think it's hopefully I frame stuff that you just want to share because it's actually an interesting concept, not just designed to sort of pump you up to say you can do it.
Sure. No, I'm sure, and I can't wait. I'll definitely be part of your audience. I can't wait to read it. So where can I get a copy? Where can we all, get hold of a book?
So I think it's hitting shelves in the next week, most of the major sort of bookstores. You can even go to destinyconnect.com, and they will, I'm sure there's some links and so forth on there. Or you can even go to my website. By the way, I'm so excited. My website has been redesigned by this young woman that I met when she was 10 years old.
Wow.
And I started to mentor her when she was 10 years old, and she made it to the Oprah School, and then she got into UCT as a computer coder. And she said, I want to redesign your website because it looks like crap. And
well done. You taught her some honesty there.
Yeah, it looks like crap, and I wanted just to say thank you. So this is my gift to you. So go check out my website, timothymaurice.com. And let me know what you think. Her name is Kanyisile Marudo, a very special young woman who I'm super, super, super proud of. And go check out her work and see. And let me know what you think. Are you done? Is that the question
Thank
you have
you,
for me?
Thank you, Timothy. I can speak to you all day, but I think, you know, let's leave it there and let's keep people wanting more. So I would definitely encourage everybody who's listening, and please share this podcast so that we get this PBQ under our belt, so that we understand what it is about, so that we can really just live life in a fuller way and understand each other better.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Timothy.
Thank you.
Thanks for letting me sit on this side today.
Well, I am thrilled to be able to flip the script now and ask you some questions and sort of engage you when it comes to cyber health. So we transition now. Thank you again for engaging this conversation around PBQ, and we move to our regular cyber health feature for today.
Thank you so much for joining us again. I'm Rianette Labovitz. I am so excited to share with you a great new tool that Facebook has brought on board. This is so exciting because, you know, I represent SafetyNet. SafetyNet is a nonprofit company, and we aim to create awareness for responsible digital engagement. And I am just so happy because Facebook came out with a new tool that can help people who are struggling, who are worried, and who might think of suicide. So let me share with you, they last week announced that they have now added a button, and I'm going to skip right through all the background information. You can go and read that online, but I want to share with you how you can help people, or if you see someone who is sending out a message that sounds distressing or that sounds that they are worried about life, what you can do to help them. So here's what you do. You click on the drop-down arrow on the right upper side of your post. You know, when you read a post, there's a little drop-down arrow that you can say, I don't want to see this, hide this post, etc. Now, this is where you click it, and then you click report post. So if you report the post, you choose a reason, and this one that says this shouldn't be on Facebook. And that's important because that then goes through to a next phase where you can tell them what's wrong with the post. And that's where you click on it's threatening, it's violent, or it's suicidal.
Wow.
And this is where you can then choose a type like suicidal content. There's a drop down again of things that you can choose from. You choose suicidal content. Then there's a list of support options that you can actually, again, select from. They include, let's offer help, reach out to that friend, chat with a trainer or a helper, call a lifeline, or ask us to look at the post. And these are all things that you can select from, and then Facebook will help. Let's say that you say you want to reach out to that friend. Then you will even get a suggested script or wording that can be sent to that friend just to get the conversation going. And this is so important because so many times we see people in distress. And 2 weeks ago or last week, I spoke about a girl 15 years old in the States who committed suicide because of bullying, cyberbullying. And this cannot happen. So here's a tool for us to help. So when you've done this process, your friend will then receive a message when they join Facebook again or when they go up to look at their feed. This message will come up with the following options. It will say, let's say, Sam, for instance, can we support you? Do you want to talk to someone? Contact a person or a support service. Get tips and supports. Or it will say, skip this. So it depends on that person then. And then if you wonder what has happened to your request, at the top menu bar of your Facebook page or your Facebook profile, there is a drop down. You need to go there and check for your messages under your support inbox. I don't think people know that there is a support inbox on Facebook. So you can check your status of the support process, and you go to that, to the right top corner, and you click on the arrow on the top menu bar and scroll down and select your support inbox to see if there are any feedback messages. So they have also given attention to privacy as well, but it is better to reach out and to support someone instead of just reporting them. So I'm very happy. Thank you, Facebook, for doing that. And one last quick update. I'm so excited because SafetyNet has put a panel of cyber safety experts together, and we will be speaking at SABC Edu Week, supported by Intel, and that's happening next week. And I'm just excited because we'll be speaking to educators about how to protect themselves as teachers. What do they need to know about? What is important for them to understand? And we'll have a panel with a forensic analyst, obviously SafetyNet. We'll have someone from one of the mobile operators to share with us what happens when you report something on that side. Like I said, a forensic analyst. And then we'll have someone from FETSAS. That's a federation that speaks to schools' governing bodies. And then we also have Advocate Deline Clark, who I'm so excited to have on the panel. She is with the Reform Commission, so she writes the laws. So we're excited to be able to influence on that side. So again, let's be responsible digital citizens and be friendly on the cyber highway and be safe. Join us on Facebook and Twitter at safetynet.com.
Thank you so much, Rianette, for our Cyber Health Bite. And we are thrilled to continue to bring in these. And make sure you do go to the Cyber Health link on Facebook and continue to follow them. I think you can follow them on Twitter as well.
Yep.
And thank you again. Please send us details. We really are grateful that you continue to listen to our unbranded show. I am more than grateful, more than you'll ever know. Send me your thoughts. You can email me, timothy@timothymaurice.com. Your thoughts on show topics that we should explore, some issues you think we should go further into, or just new arenas that you think is worth digging into as well. I am Timothy Maurice, and that was Rianette Lebowitz, and we will see you next week on Unbranded.
This is CliffCentral.com.